God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 25, and I'll also be adding verse 29 and 30 as we go along. But our text sort of today sort of is a little bit of an interesting text in and of itself. It's got to have a little bit of explanation. First of all, you have to understand that John the Baptist is in jail. He's in prison for proclaiming the truth of the word of God. Mostly the king didn't like what he had to say. And basically, the king was being chastised for having his brother's wife. But getting beyond that, John has in the back of his mind, he is in jail. He knows who Jesus is. He knows Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is John's own words as he sees Jesus coming to be baptized. These same words we also sing right before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's called the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God. Three times we sing these words, Christ the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Christ the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Christ the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You would think we would get that point hammered very easily and quickly, week after week, and this is why it's there right before our communion liturgy. But unfortunately, we may say these words, we may sing these words, but when it gets down right to it, do we truly believe these words of the Agnus Dei? What am I alluding to? Our text for today, John is in prison. He knows who Jesus is. He hears reports about Jesus healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead, driving out evil spirits. And so John sends his disciples to ask Jesus a simple question. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? John knows the answer to this question. He knows Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of God. Why does he ask this question? Scripture doesn't give us the actual reasoning behind John's question here, just that he asked the question. But let me do a little bit of inference here. People were being attracted to Jesus. I mean, when you see a miracle being done, it's going to grab your attention. And people were constantly flocking to Jesus because of these miracles. And there were a great deal of crowds going on. And so what does Jesus' own words say in verse 23? Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. And so how do we balance these two things? John, who has a concern of what's happening with Jesus and his ministry, and Jesus is saying, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Something must be going on. And what's going on is that whole concept. Do we understand what's going on in the Agnus Dei? Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. We may say, but Pastor, I know what's going on. I do believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, one who has delivered me from sin, death, and the devil. But now let me question that, probably with the same inference I think John the Baptist has and the explanation of verse 23. You see, our human nature is just focused upon ourselves. We want what's best for us. Sometimes in our own life we have, you know, short-term goals. Sometimes we're just trying to see, can we make it through the end of the day? That's goal number one. Then can we make it through the next day and the next? Our goals may even have goals for the week, you know, my to-do list that I want to try to get done this week. Maybe sometime within this month, maybe sometime within this season, maybe even sometimes within this year or 5 years, or if we're really bold, maybe even 10 years down the line. But too often we usually don't sit there and say, you know, 40 years down the line I'm going to do this, this, and this. We usually stop our goals short, and I have to ask the question, why? You see, when we stop our goals short, what are we doing? Is we're only focusing our attention upon the here and the now. Here's the bridge and the gap. You see, if our attention is only focused upon the here and the now, then we come running to a Savior, Jesus, and we sit there and say, okay, I'm blind, I need to be healed. I'm lame, I need to be able to walk. I'm sick, I need to be cured. I have leprosy, get rid of it for me. We only come to a God who sits there and just heals the physical things. But if we understand our life beyond the here and the now, beyond the next 5, 10, 15, 20, or how many other years we have, there's more to life than just what's going on physically within me right now. There's more to life than having a God that sort of satisfies my immediate need. I need a God who's going to bring me to eternal life. Because if we take a look at the whole expanse of the universe, from the time it was created forever and ever, our short 100 years or so, however we're gifted to be on this earth, is just a speck compared to the amount of eternity. But where are our goals? Are our goals focused upon eternity? Or are our goals focused upon the here and now? Let me ask it this way. In our prayers, when we come before our God and we say, Lord, have mercy, when we ask Him for certain things, is it for things in the here and the now? Or is it the forgiveness of sins, the eternal life beyond this life? What I'm getting here to the point is, I think John the Baptist may have had one or two things in the back of his mind. One of which was the crowds were coming to Jesus. Jesus was showing his divinity. And John getting a little bit impatient because he is incarcerated at this time is saying, okay, Lord, when are you going to establish your kingdom? When are you going to bring your kingdom of heaven to bear? Because there is more to life than just the physical healing. The crowds were attracted to Jesus because of the physical healing. But there's more going on here. But the crowds weren't necessarily seeing that. Even in our own life, we have to ask ourselves the same question that the disciples of John were asking Jesus. Should we be looking for someone else? And the answer to that question is immediately no, we shouldn't be looking for someone else. But the reality of it is, we do. How many times in our own hearts do we sit there and we set up God, so to speak, and saying, God, if you're for real, you'll grant me this request because I really need it. Well, there's a difference between our needs and our wants. God will give us what we need. But does God give us all our wants? You see, God has to play a very dangerous game here. It's probably not dangerous for God because He knows and understands all things. It's more dangerous for us. You see, God wants to bestow many blessings upon us. But at the same time, will those blessings ever consume our faith? Will those blessings ever consume who we are? Will we ever get so attracted to the here and now that we'll lose sight of the eternity in which God the Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has given us? The forgiveness of sins? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the main purpose of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yet here in our text, we have people coming to Jesus to be cured. It would almost seem that the purpose of Jesus here on earth at this time of our text was only to heal us of the physical ailments. Even in today's society, we see Christians rushing to a God saying, Lord, give me this, grant me this, help my life be easier here. We almost look to God as a spiritual Santa Claus, one who bears gifts for good little boys and girls like you and me. We lose sight of the true nature of God, the God who says, I want you more than just 70 years or so. I want you to be with me in eternal life, and you can't get there because of your sins. So I will send my only begotten Son who will pay the price of your sins, who will feel my wrath so that you can be with me in heaven above. To what kind of God are we looking for, or are we trying to seek someone else? The reason why Jesus adds, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me, is because, yeah, people were attracted to the healings, the miracles, the new, the exciting. We even see this in today's culture. Take a look at our marketing techniques in our world around us. We have to package things a certain way, advertise them a certain way to attract people's attention. We even see churches going all out to do all these decorative type of things to attract people to their midst. They're doing all these exciting things, but are they proclaiming the forgiveness of sins through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If they are doing so, amen. If they are not, then they are like the crowds being attracted to Jesus for the wrong reason. Notice, after Jesus gives them this message, to go back to John. By the way, it was also a messianic message. Through the Old Testament, there was witness that the Messiah was going to do all these things. And so, in one essence, the underlying message going back to John was, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. Have patience. Let me continue with verse 24. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John, refocusing their attention. Notice, what did John do? John did a baptism of repentance. Plain and simple, going to the Jordan River, being washed. Why? Because you were filled with sin. You needed this repentance, a washing of renewal, so to speak. And so he begs the question, what did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by a wind? You know, someone who fits with the time, the sign of the times? Someone who tells you what you need to hear? The answer was no. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Again, the answer is no. John wore camel skins. He ate locusts and wild honey. By the way, one of the reasons why, you may be asking, why do pastors, at least in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, mostly wear a white alb? To get beyond the physical dress so that you don't necessarily see me and what I'm wearing today and critique what I'm wearing today, but you're able to hear God's word and its purity so that you're not being subverted or detracted from it. But yet you'll see other congregations where it is very important what the pastor wears. Did we come to see a man dressed in fine clothes? The answer again is no. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. So why did the people go out to hear John? The answer was for the message of the forgiveness of sin. Getting back to, should we be looking for someone else? Well, it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for someone who's going to tell you how good you are, then you need to go somewhere else. If you're looking for someone who's going to grant you all your needs and requests, then you need to go somewhere else. But if you're coming to our Lord and Savior and saying, Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short of your glory. I don't deserve your precious gifts. I deserve eternal damnation. Have mercy on me and forgive me. Grant me eternal life. Then you've come to the right place at the right time. Let me pick up a little bit later on in our text. After Jesus explains a little bit more about the purpose of John the Baptist, he goes on with verse 29. Let me add here. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. Verse 29 sets up a category, those who believed and trusted in the forgiveness of sins, those who desired that forgiveness of sins, those who were baptized by John, those who weren't rejecting God, so to speak, but wanted to have what God offered to them. They were the ones who heard that message. And they acknowledged that God's way was the right way. Verse 30 puts us in the other category. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. They rejected what the Lord had to offer. They didn't care about the baptism of repentance. They didn't care about the renewal. They probably only cared about the here and the now. They looked at themselves and saying, life isn't too bad. You know, a few extra toys in life and I would have had it. They lost sight of what life is going to be like beyond the 40, 50, 60, 70 years from now. They were only focused upon the here and the now, the short-term goal, so to speak, not the long-term fulfillment through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, God knows that we need things to survive in this life. And we do have a loving, gracious God. When we compare our standard of living to those living in other countries and other parts of this world, we indeed are truly blessed. Yeah, we can probably think of some people who are blessed even more, and we may be thinking, Lord, why can't I be like them? And that's the wrong way of thinking. We need to sit there and say, Lord, thank you for the many blessings. Because when we start thinking, why can't I be like them, We're more focused upon the short-term goals, not the long-term goals of eternal life, which is only given through the forgiveness of sins. When we fail to realize that every day we sin, every day we fall short of God's glory, every day we have these selfish ideas and attitudes that we're only focused upon who we are and where we're going the next day or two, we lose sight of the glory that is given to us through the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We lose sight of that. And we ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, give me the wisdom to see my life beyond the short term, but for the long term. Lord, fill me with your Spirit so that I may grow in this faith and be truly your disciple each and every day. Help me to realize my shortcomings and my sin. And Lord, grant me your Spirit. Notice we'll be singing right after we're done with the sermon hymn and the offering, the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now we are seeking the right God for the right reasons. We don't need to be looking for someone else. So in our own lives, if we're so focused upon the short term, here's the time we come to our Lord and we say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We come before him in recognizing he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We come looking for no one else, but for the grace and the forgiveness which God alone provides. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.